And welcome to the third annual Beloit Daily News Sports NFL Preview Podcast. This is Josh Flickinger, your normal host, along with my normal co-host, Rob Lucas. And we are joined by our three handpicked local NFL experts. That would be Dan Merrill, Brent Swanson, and Ryan Mueller. Sorry, I blanked there for the last name, which is odd because I'm married to his sister. But we're going to go through and just basically talk about what we think might happen, some of the interesting storylines. Obviously, things have changed a little bit in the NFC North for a couple teams over the past couple years. And so we'll go through that, make some predictions. And I want to thank you for joining us and listening. So, you know, we always start the same way, I think, guys. I think we always start out in the NFC North. And I have to start this year with Brent, who is our resident Vikings fan, for a couple of reasons. The first one, he's had to scoot off the last couple of years for his fantasy football draft. That's done and gone, and per my rules, he will not be talking about his fantasy football team. But the second reason is
to just get it out of the way? The Vikings, just get him out of the way? Is that what we're talking
about?
It's not.
It's actually because Swanee does not have to come in here holding his hat and defending Christian Ponder this year. Which is, it's been, the last couple of years have been tough, but now it is a football revolution in Minneapolis. A lot of people are predicting them to go to the playoffs. Brent, I'm wondering what your thoughts are after the five, I guess, preseason games that the Vikings played and their season last year. Are you similarly optimistic?
Well, I thought, since I wasn't going to be defending Christian Ponder, I might be defending Adrian Peterson today. But
do you really want to defend Adrian Peterson?
No, I was hoping we could keep it on the field, so let's do that.
All right, wish granted. That's fine.
No, I think cautiously optimistic, as I like to be, I guess. I do think for the first time and since 2009, I think they feel like they know what they have at quarterback to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So I think... quite honestly, I was pleasantly surprised with Bridgewater last year. I think he was probably a little bit better than I anticipated. I didn't know how much he would play. Matt Cassel answered that for us early on last year, getting hurt in week three. So I think they like what they have at quarterback. And, you know, one thing I found last year, too, is I like our coach. He's a good coach, and he seems to really have his way improving defenses. And I think... anybody who watched the Vikings play last year noticed a difference, so we're hoping they'll take even another step this year.
You know, interesting, you know, kind of going through and taking a look at their schedule, they've got, you know, those first four games are pretty interesting. You know, you go to San Francisco, and everybody's expecting San Francisco, obviously, to take a step back this year, but that's a Monday night. Is that opening their new stadium? Or was that last year?
No, that was last year.
And then you're home for the Lions, obviously a big divisional game. You're home for the Chargers. And then you go and play another AFC West opponent, the Broncos. So those first four games are all kind of, you know, could go either way type of thing. You know, how important, especially for Bridgewater and where you're at, you know, to get off to a good start, do you think?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, there's one divisional game in those first four, the home game against Detroit, I think, of the four. That is the most important. Yep. If you drop one against one of the AFC teams, then, hey, so be it, especially at Denver. But get out of that 2-2. If they can find a way to get 3-1, you know, I'm hoping they could win at San Fran and get both home games. But we will see. I think it's pretty important they don't come out of that 1-3 with a loss to Detroit.
Dan is a Bears fan along with Rob. Brian and I are the Packers fans in the group. And Dan, what's your view on the Vikings? Do you think that they're ready to kind of make that next step?
I think they're the second best team in the division, and I think some of it has to do with the attrition from the Lions, you know, losing Dominican Sue. I'm not sure what Detroit's going to do defensively, and I've never been a big Stafford fan. He's terrible under pressure. I think he goes from like a 68% completion ratio, like 41 under duress. So
and whipping out stats right away. Whipping out the stats right away.
I came ready. Like,
I didn't know we were doing research
for this.
I apologize. But I definitely agree with you. I like Zimmer. I like what I saw with him as a defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. I like what I saw last year. Bridgewater, you can distill everything you don't want to every team in the NFL. Comes down to the quarterback play. And if he can take that next step forward, they have weapons, they have a defense, and we'll see where they go from there. But I think they're the team that's most likely to make the playoffs other than the Packers in the NFC North this year.
Well, does anybody think that more than two teams could you know, make the playoffs out of this NFC North? Do you think anybody think the Lions could make a push or the Bears? Anybody?
No chance. No.
The Bears absolutely no chance. The Lions.
You got a chance, right? I mean, if things go well for the Lions.
No, no chance
for the Lions. Maybe. You're looking at what the NFC South is just dreadful. I mean, it's just mediocrity rules down there. The West, I see a sharp decline from. I mean, can Arizona continue to play at that level?
Right.
That high playoff level? Is Carson Palmer going to be 100%? NFC East, you got to think one of those two teams is going to take a little bit of a step back, whether it's going to be Dallas or Philly. I don't know. I guess that leaves the room for maybe Detroit to come in for a wild card, but highly likely, I think, that there's a possibility of two wild card teams coming from the NFC North.
Ryan, what do you think? I mean, are you similarly pessimistic there on Detroit's chances? I mean, this is a team last year that made some noise. Obviously, you know, losing not only Sue but Fairley as well is a huge blow to their defense. But given the Stafford concerns, they're also, you know, fairly explosive offensively. They've still got Calvin Johnson.
Absolutely. And, you know, they've got a good coach as well. I think Caldwell has come in and at least established a presence there and does a nice job. But I would actually go with Minnesota as the number two team. Mm-hmm. I think kind of like Baltimore a couple of years ago with maybe a better upside quarterback, but the defense is legitimately strong and great defensive coaches. And if they can get just enough offense, if Adrian Peterson can come close to replicating what he's done in the past, then I don't think they'd be a dominant playoff team, but I think they have a chance to win a lot of ball games because their defense is going to keep them in it.
Swanee, one thing that'll improve next year is that home field advantage. You know, they were 5-3 at home last year, which isn't bad. But, you know, you're not going to have those monstrous crowds. You're not going to have 80,000 there. It's about 55,000. Great atmosphere, fun things. But, I think a lot of people are waiting to, you know, obviously for that next year, for that new stadium, which looks unbelievable. You know, I was there to see that in person a couple weeks ago, how that was going. It's going to be incredible. And you're also going to go back indoors and get that incredibly loud. I mean, do you see that as a disadvantage to kind of have a temporary home?
Not a big disadvantage. I think the talent on the field is really what wins and loses games. You know, could it have made a difference in one game, perhaps? I don't know, maybe.
Right.
But certainly there's not the feel of that dome and just, you know, where the opponent literally couldn't hear at times and things along those lines. But this is a team that won 7 games last year.
Yep.
They didn't have Adrian Peterson, obviously, other than the one game to start. They had a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach. In the last 2 years, they've drafted 10 defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched them play a little bit, and they're faster. They seem to be building their team to compete against their division. They've added a first-round draft pick, Trey Waynes, at corner, brought in Terrence Newman. They've now got 4 legitimate corners that I think will be able to match up, hopefully, with the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Stafford and Cutler as well. So, I don't know. The home field advantage, I think it's still there as long as you got the talent on the field.
Well, speaking of the last name you mentioned, Cutler, we'll go right to the Bears, one of Rob's favorite topics here. He's already thrown in the proverbial towel. I believe he wrote in the Bears are going to be terrible column in roughly May for the Daily News.
It was done in April.
Before or after the draft?
It
was during the draft. And then, of course, camp has not gone great. Obviously, whenever you lose the 7th overall pick, potentially for the season, right? I mean, that's out there. That you're not going to get any influx there. Offensive line, from what I understand, could have looked better. Has anything in this last month changed your opinion? Like, wow, I thought they were going to win 5. Now they're going to win 3. Is it the other side? Where are you at?
They're still terrible. That's still for sure. I just found out that they're moving Kyle Long to right tackle just now. They just decided that after the preseason, because that's a good thing. That's a smart way to do it. Jordan Mills gets waived, move Kyle Long outside. Don't need any practice at that, though. He's probably fine.
Well, he has practiced it during camp.
Yeah.
Not a game, but
yeah, that'll work out well. Right, currently, I think their number one receiver is like Curtis Conway. I think he's running some streaks down the side for him. Jeff Graham running the opposite
Waddle
side.
Waddle will be amazing in the slot.
Well,
that's the one thing you can consider.
Sure hands. You know. Cat Bozo at tight end. But no, they're bad. I mean, I mean, I would say at most 5 wins is going to be good for them. I mean, John Fox, I think, is actually a pretty good coach, so that might.
Yep.
That might actually hurt their draft stock, because then he might coach them, you know, like get them going to a win or two, but an extra win or two. But no, they're atrocious. I would assume that this is probably Cutler's last year. They can kind of get rid of him after this year and not take that huge hit against the cap. And if they're as bad as I think they're going to be, they'll be looking for a quarterback in the top five. There's a few guys out there, but the defense is going to be top 20 at best. Like that's what they're looking at. They're going to be I'm going to spend a lot of Sundays watching movies.
Starting in about April 16th, you just spent a summer essentially rooting against your favorite baseball team.
Yeah, it was great.
Are you comfortable with doing that again for the football team? Are you fine with that?
Yeah, if it means at some point they'd actually be good, I would be. And actually, my baseball team is now ruining everything they worked so hard for winning.
I saw that. They're
six
actually,
straight or something.
They lost today.
They're on the verge of falling out of the top 10.
Morons. This is the same thing they did a few years ago. But we're not talking about baseball right now. We're talking about Bears. Think about it. If you were to tell, if I were to tell anyone in this room, hey, if your team was going to be terrible for 2 years, but at the end of it, you were going to get, a top 5 or top 10 type quarterback, would you take it? Everybody would take it, Packer fans being the ones who have been spoiled for so long. But,
yeah.
The Colts, they took a 3-13 season, got Andrew Luck out of it. Now, I don't think it's Andrew Luck in this upcoming draft.
Yeah,
or Selvin is.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to be 8-8. I know that, the current structure with Jay, I don't have any huge issues with Jay. He's not the reason that they're so bad, but they're not going to win with him, so why keep doing it?
Damn.
But I think the problem is that Jay keeps them from being the 2-3-1 team if he's on the field. And there's no doubt the Bears attempted to do. I mean, if you look at it, I'll take baseball, for instance, John Hart has done nothing but a scorched earth approach in Atlanta this year, to the point of keep going until they're so bad that they finally are probably the worst team in baseball right now. You sell off all your assets. And the Bears really tried to. They tried to move Cutler. That contract just prohibited them from doing it. No one wanted to take that on. And even if there was a team like the Jets or the Bills that really needed a quarterback, some along the lines of Cutler, they just didn't have the cap room or the flexibility, to make that move. They tried to move Martellus Bennett. I would be absolutely shocked if Matt Forte is a Bear after the trade deadline this year. I think you guys looking at, productive back. There's going to be a team out there that needs a back. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys, since they let DeMarco Worry walk out the door, and they realize maybe this running back by committee is not going to work, and, he's available. Maybe you can find a way to wiggle yourself into maybe a third-round draft pick for him, just out of desperation. But, yeah, it's going to be a bad year, and I don't know other way to put it. I think they attempted to have that sort of scorched earth mentality, but I just don't think they could get themselves to that point because Jay's a quarterback.
It's a lot harder to do in the NFL, than like in basketball or in baseball, when it's easier to kind of dump off some of those assets because there's no salary cap in baseball, so it's not that big of a deal. But if the Dodgers or somebody's going to take on an extra $20 million, but I think they tried to do those guys. I think they kind of just want to, cut all that salary next year. Forte's gone, Bennett's gone. Doughty's resigned. Yeah, Allen, all those guys gone. Start over fresh and kind of sign the guys you need to win with.
I think the other thing that's going to prohibit them from being a terrible team is their coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really
just
annoying.
No way. You brought in Vic Fangio. There's no doubt he's a top 5 defensive coordinator in the league. I mean, that's just track record's proven that. Adam Gase, whether or not it was Peyton Manning or not, still seems to be a competent offensive coordinator. John Fox, like we already talked about. So I find it hard to believe this team is going to win 2-3 games, even if they say have an injury with Cutler, or they are able to trade off assets such as Bennett or Forte, still find a way to only win a couple of games.
Coaching staff aside, do you guys have confidence in the Bears management? Because the next level is now, if we're going
to
be bad, you got to draft.
And
can these guys actually do that?
Well, I have a lot of confidence going into the beginning of their administration, but then they've kind of burned some bridges here. The whole Ray McDonald thing, where you had George McCaskey out there talking about how impressed he was that Ray McDonald bought a plane ticket. You had Vic Fangio betting him, and then the next thing you know, here comes allegations he has to be cut. And then the Kevin White injury. He has shin splints in OTA. Just come out and say he has it. I mean, where do you think this team's going? Why be so closed about everything, every little injury in the preseason, you know, and they lied and lied and lied and lied at the beginning there, and all of a sudden now you've burned these bridges, people. Now, I don't believe what comes out of their mouths right now because they've already burned those bridges. But can they draft? From what everybody said, that Kevin White passed all the medicals. All the teams that looked at him passed his medicals. I like Eddie Goldman. I like the draft. Jeremy Langford looks like he could be an NFL running back. You know, going from there, I liked what they did in the draft. I like what they did in free agency. I don't like how they presented that to the to their fan base and to the rest of the NFL. So,
so 1 week from today, actually right now as we're recording this at nearly 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, you know, one of these teams would be 1-0, and obviously 0-1.
I think we know who that team is.
You know, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say that, but. But
yeah,
I mean,
really, really easy to say that.
But does your outlook, it's like, so do you, I'm just trying to get in the mindset here. Do you allow yourself to sit down and be and in that first game? Like, you never know with the NFL. Teams catch lightning in a bottle all the time. Like, will you sit down week one, no doubt alone here in your basement?
It's the only way I watch sports.
Absolutely,
anymore.
I understand.
Alone in my basement.
I get it. I get it.
Omar can't even come down. He's upstairs.
But I mean, you know, if the opening drive touchdown, do you get excited? I mean, are you excited if they beat the Pats? Particularly since it makes your life
now,
on a personal level much easier.
If they were to go 2-14 and just beat the Packers twice,
right.
I could just text my brother all day long about it. I mean, it'd be great. And yeah, I mean, I'll get a little excited. You know, like I got excited when the Badgers, you know, stopped Alabama in those first series and, you know, scored the touchdown to
yeah.
kind of keep it a little bit closer. I got excited, but I've become much more realistic in my expectations of what they're going to be. And I'm at that point where, like, I don't want them to be 8-8. Win
yeah.
or be bad. Like have a chance to win the Super Bowl or be bad. I don't want to sit in the middle anymore. I'm getting too old for this.
Okay. Brent, are you, or Dan, are you the same way?
Absolutely. I don't – the more losses, the better for this team going forward this year.
That's
– you know, if you, and look at how this that draft shook down. I mean, they were sitting there at, what, 7? And Amari Cooper and
yeah.
And what's his name? The one to the Jets. I can't think of his name. The defensive lineman, the best player probably in the draft. We're sitting there – one pick ahead, you know, and that's the way you got to look at it. You got to get as far ahead as you can in the draft. If you want to move down, so be it, but, you know, in stockpile draft picks, but use your, I hate to say, use your bat to your advantage. You know?
Other than the really poor drafting teams that tend to be at the top often, you look at what Indianapolis does. There's a history in football. If you can be bad for a year or two and you draft well, it's an immediate
mm-hmm.
turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in baseball where you're sitting there 5-6 years later wondering what you had in that draft class. In football, it seems like
you know
you
right
can
away.
Capitalize. Yeah. Yeah, it's immediate.
Well,
yeah.
Well, and you've seen the Vikings do it pretty well. Like, they've had some higher picks, and they've taken some guys and made some trades for guys they wanted, and they've made that change. And now, like, they're a legitimate 10-win team, I'd say, probably legitimate in
yeah.
that option. Yeah.
But, and this would be it's a good question for Swanee, whose Vikings never, ever hit rock bottom, yet
mm-hmm.
still seem to be – what number pick was Bridgewater?
32. 30,
yeah.
They so, traded back
see,
in to get...
Okay, so that's
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if they have a guy that at least Vikings fan hope someday that you can look at and say, this guy could lead us to a Super Bowl at 32, and Lord knows the Jamarcus Russells and all those guys that Jake Lockers were first-round picks. I mean, you can go down the list. Yeah, there you maybe get more chances, but there's certainly no guarantee. Now, Swanee, were you ever in all-out tank mode for the Vikings, rooting for them to lose? Because they were never a 2-14 team.
Not in September.
Okay.
Usually not even October, but
right.
when November, December
okay.
comes around and they're
okay.
2-8 or 3
yep.
and 8, that's where I want to start looking at, you know, getting a better pick.
Okay.
But at the same time, last year was a little bit different for me in that it never felt like they were really in it in terms of a wild card spot or anything along those lines. But I wanted to see the continued development of the young players and Bridgewater and Anthony Barr and all the guys they had playing on that defense. You want to see them learn how to win as well. And then you still can draft well if you're picking 9, 12, 15.
Exactly.
But that's kind of my perspective.
That's my point right now, you know, switching sports is with the Brewers. If the Brewers are achieving this 6-game winning streak and having a good month of September, and they have Joe Block posted today that they have the 5th best record in the National League since May 31st. So, now, that doesn't get you anything, but what I'm saying is if they're doing these things, accomplishing these things with young players, and like Swan, I mean, I think that solid finish to the Vikings season does carry over, and they're able to help him. And obviously the experience Bridgewater had was invaluable. So while Team Tank has, you know, certainly has its validity, I think there's also some validity into if you're going to do it right and play young players and win, not a bad thing.
And I agree with that, but I think there are two different aspects. To be old and bad.
Oh, no, there's nothing worse than old and bad.
That's horrible. Whereas the Vikings the last couple of years, you know, with all those draft picks, they're young and not, you know, you could see it was a process, and I agree with you. You want to kind of see them pull it together, maybe some tight losses. But where the Bears are at right now, that...
There's just a limit to how much of the roster you can churn over in one season as you field an NFL team. And that's where they're at here. And, you know, like you already pointed out, these contracts are going to be gone after this year. You're going to have a half a dozen, if not more, on the way out the door. So, you know, you can only do so much at one time.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens, what kind of the direction that they go in. If they do, if it is November and they're 3-8, you know, while they can't turn over the roster, there are certain personnel decisions that can be made within the course of a game, right? You see the major league teams, you know, that'll, you know what, yeah, let's start this 27-year-old that's never played in AAA. Let's give him a shot, right? Well, we all know what that means. NBA teams are classic for this, right? They sign the guy from the D League. The next thing you know, he's playing 38 minutes. You know, they know what they're trying to do. The guys on the field are always trying to win. That's not where the tanking comes in. It's from, you know, coaching and management decisions. So, well, let's move on and discuss now the chances for the Packers. And Rob and I were talking, and Ryan and I just had this conversation because that's basically what we talk about on a weekly basis. Just the impact that potential that Jordy Nelson injury might have. And I think he's one of the top three probably most important players on that roster, obviously secondary to Rodgers. You know, I don't care how deep that position is. This guy caught 1,500 yards worth and 15 touchdowns, and it's not a skill set that you can replace. Is this a big deal? Dan, how big is the Nelson injury?
You know, it takes it from I had the Packers as a slam dunk to win the NFC this year to I still think they're probably the team to beat in the NFC, and I honestly still think they're better than Seattle or the rest of the field. It just, I thought the Packers were head and shoulders above everybody else last year. I think we saw that in the NFC title game last year. They just didn't realize they were the better team last year, you know, going into that game.
Yeah, so, Swanee.
How much of a product would you say as a Packer fan is Jordy of Aaron Rodgers? Meaning, we all saw what happened to Eric Decker when he left Peyton Manning. We all saw what happened to Greg Jennings when he left Aaron Rodgers. Can Aaron take Davante Adams and turn him into an elite receiver as well? Not discounting what Jordy brings to the table. He's a great player. He can fly. You know, it's certainly the loss will be felt, but will they, you know, pick up where they left off because of Aaron?
Yeah, and to that point, I think probably 75, 80 receptions are replaceable. So Devontae or whoever it is, one of these young guys that steps up, can get you some nice catches, become a more of an elite receiver. And coming into year two, Devontae does look like he's going to take that step. I'm not worried, concerned there. But Jordy does two things on pretty much every weekend that's going to be hard to replicate. And that is that back shoulder, his height, his deceptive speed down the sideline, whether it's a 10-yard gain or a critical first down or in the end zone, he has that ability to just tap dance along the sideline that, to me, is incredible. The second thing is it's those huge plays. I mean, the Packers have other great receivers. I mean, all these teams, even the Brandon Marshalls last year, you know, good receivers on other NFC teams, probably even the Calvin Johnson. You don't see him get those 75-yarders. Those to me are just impact. You can't replicate them. You can't duplicate them. And he seems to do it on a weekly basis. So I think those big momentum catches are going to be hard to replace.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And now the Packers should be fine at offensive line. You know, they've had some questions, of course, during the season or during the preseason with that, with some injuries. And they should be able to run the ball with Eddie Lacy, but it remains to be seen. You know, Nelson, he missed a couple games in 2012, but other than that, has been a really durable guy. They came in at the same time. You know, Rodgers wasn't a rookie in 2008, but it was his first time he played. and that was Nelson's rookie season. So besides those, he's missed four games in his entire career. So we really don't know. It's hard to answer. Obviously, he's had a great amount of success, but that'll be, I think, the biggest question.
Which of the, forgive my ignorance, which of the two receivers last year drew the double teams? Is it Cobb that gets the double teams? Does Nelson get them or neither?
Jordy gets the double
teams. Jordy gets
them. Yeah, he's on the outside. It's, you know, and part of that is by design too. You know, the Packers, you know, Cobb was clearly your second best receiver, so it's tougher to double the slot guy just as a matter of scheme. Right. So, you know, you'd put him in there. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy the safety was sliding over to was definitely Jordy. So that was a point Rob brought up, you know, before we started recording, was that, you know, Cobb's going to see a lot of those.
And Jordy's the top off the defense guy, too. He's the one that Ryan is saying that brings that top off. And it's not like they don't have speed in other places, you know, but, like, he was that guy that always made that defense stay on its deep, where I think it could hurt Lacy a tiny, tiny bit, you know, where maybe if you're not quite as scared as those guys streaking down the field as often. I think that this is going to hurt them, at least initially, the first few weeks. They kind of feel their way through it to figure out who's going to really step up. Because Adams might be really good, but he's never done it before.
So well, plus, Cobb is dinged up.
Oh, yeah, he is. And he's going to continue to be dinged up.
That's, he's dinged for the year now.
You can't be that size and go over the middle in the NFL and not be dinged up. So I think that's a good point. Jordy Nelson had 8 plays of 40-plus yards last year. 8. It's unbelievable.
7 against the Bears.
I'd be
9 against the Bears.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say he was on my fantasy team and helped me to the title.
Edit that out, please.
We'll go in there. That'll never reach the light of day.
Just a long beep for 6 seconds.
A profanity-laced tirade there from Swanee. But,
those Viking fans can't trust
fantasy,
him.
Fantasy, the new
F-word. Yeah, the new F-word, exactly. So we're, you know, if we're fairly certain, and I think we're all in agreement here that, you know, barring an injury, pretty much barring an injury to Aaron Rodgers, that the Packers probably on the top of the NFC North. We think the Vikings might be able to, you know, scratch out and win 10 games, 9-10 games, and maybe get a wild card. Where do you think those other wild cards? Dan touched on this a little bit. Ryan, where do you think those other wild cards? What do you think of the East? You know, Dallas was 12-4 last year and outscored their opponents, you know, by 115 points, which was second, third in the league behind Green Bay and Seattle. You know, the Murray question's a big one.
Yeah, they picked up a kid out of Seattle today.
I saw that.
Christian Michael.
Yeah.
So apparently they were a little concerned as well.
Yep.
But, you know, it's an improved defense. Yeah, they got a lot of weapons. But, yeah, DeMarco Murray, when healthy, is an elite back. So I think there are some questions, though. I just don't know if that defense is as good as what it showed last year.
Well, and you know, you look at the rest of that division, you know, Philadelphia just, you know, in preseason, which is so specifically for them, it's so hard to tell because they play with that pace and tempo and nobody prepares for it. Swanee, do you think that might be a team that could step up, though, in that East?
I do. That's who I have winning the East.
Okay.
I think the Murray pickup is, I mean, look, he ran for 1,800 yards last year, and I know they're deep at running back, and so they'll rotate guys in and out, but I like their receivers. Kid out of USC and Jordan Matthews. I don't know much about their defense, to be honest, but I know one thing. They're going to score some points, and they are not a fun matchup on Sunday.
No, there's no doubt, and, you know, the Packers saw firsthand when it was their first team defense, and they didn't scheme for him, but you don't scheme for Darren Sproles against your middle linebacker. Even if you do, you're in trouble, and that's what the Packers found out. So there's a lot of weapons on the field. So I don't think, you know, the Giants or Redskins – you know, the Giants, they're a schizo team. It seems like every other year they rise up and make a run, so you don't discount them there. But the Redskins
They're disastrous.
It is a disaster. It's a complete disaster. It's sad,
it's,
really.
It's not even comical. It's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a coach who wants to be fired. Oh, who's
no,
benching.
It's pretty funny.
I guess I'm not a Redskins fan, so it's I guess it can't be funny to me.
Right.
I don't know. Does anybody trust Sam Bradford to play a full season here in Philadelphia?
That's a good question.
Or Murray? I mean, you watched Murray last year take hit after hit, carry after carry. You know, and I don't think the Cowboys had a choice but to. I think it was down to Dez Bryant or DeMarco Murray. They had to make a choice,
and that was an easy choice. Dez. That's an
easy
choice.
A wise choice. So, honestly, at the end of the day, I still think Dallas is the cream of the crop there. And I think Philadelphia can probably keep himself in wild card contention as long as Bradford stays in one piece.
You know, you look at Atlanta maybe in the NFC South as a team, 6-10 last year. Maybe they make a small step forward. I don't know if I see a 10-win team in that South.
I don't see a 9-win team in that
A 7-8-1 won the division last year.
Yeah.
Anybody have a team there that they like?
No.
No?
It's bad.
Would Carolina pick up for receivers this year? Because
well, they got Benjamin, but
yeah.
then
but
Benjamin...
But then he went down, yeah. right? Yeah. So, yeah, it was... I heard I was driving in the middle of nowhere sometime this summer, and I actually was listening to a Carolina preseason game, and the announcer had no idea who the receivers were. Like,
yeah.
It was the game after Benjamin went down.
Sure. Yep. If I had to take someone, I would take Drew Brees and the Saints, but...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, when in doubt, go with the quarterback and the home field yeah. advantage. I mean, New Orleans last year, that was the crazy thing about New Orleans. They beat the Packers at home. No, but they were 3-5 in the Superdome. Is that going to happen again? It's not likely, right? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, New Orleans, I would think would probably be my pick, but or Atlanta to have a little bit of bounce back. They've got some talent. Tampa Bay's certainly going to be better than 2-14. Maybe not much. Better.
Yeah, like 3-13.
They might win a couple more.
See yeah. Winston in the preseason.
The defensive backs have, I yes. think. So.
And then, you know, you move over to the West, and this is really, you know, as a Packer fan, the team obviously that you're concerned about is Seattle. They took some losses, but boy, I mean, they've still got that beastly defense. They're still unbelievable at home. And, you know, and the Packers get them in week two in Lambeau, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but you're talking there. It's rare that a week two game, if things
could mean home field advantage.
It could. Yeah.
100%.
Well, that's a two-game. That's a two-gamer, right?
It's
there.
A two-game swing. Yeah. Anybody else like anybody in the West? Not necessarily to miss it because to win it, but you know, to make a run and maybe, you know, hey, Arizona 11-5 with Palmer being
with
out
Palmer,
a lot of that
yeah.
time.
I don't think you can discount them. And kind of like the Vikings with Swanee here, how do you not count St. Louis in there? Like, if they
yeah,
could
they
find looking... any way to score points,
yeah.
that defense is
the,
really good.
The Rams are my actual other wild card team.
Ooh,
I think the Rams, I think their defense is just outstanding, and they'll find enough ways to score.
I think it matters to a point how soon Gurley can play.
Yeah.
If he can
yeah.
play by October, early October, week 4, week 5,
yeah.
That will be a solid team, but... minus him, I don't know who they're going to hand the ball off to.
Yeah.
Just put the defense back.
Hand it off to Aaron Donald and let that guy rumble down
definitely
the field.
I think the 49ers are going to be chasing down the Bears for one of those top selections this
yeah, well,
year.
And then
Tom Sula is...
So you think they're that bad?
The amount of players that retired or quit or
yeah.
in jail or you lost your coaching staff?
Swanee's hoping so.
I'll let you know next week.
And then they
trap
hand,
game.
And then they hand the reins to Jim Tom Sula?
Yeah.
What's the hidden story there? Like, that was an elite franchise with
yeah.
elite talent.
The hidden story
talent.
Was that the job was offered to Adam Gase, but with the caveat that Jim Tom Sula was his defensive coordinator, and in which he turned down the job. So,
but there was so much talent on that team
yeah.
3, 4, 5 years
ago.
I mean,
the Super
like,
Bowl, yeah.
I mean, so much talent. And then,
you have a meddling
is it a Harbaugh effect? Like, what was he that much disliked by everyone?
I think their quarterback took a step back for starters.
Yeah,
But you know, I think Harbaugh is a difference maker at head coach. But you can't prepare for early retirements and some of the off the field issues that they have had. It's been talk about a team that's really been snake bit by a little
yeah.
bit of everything. That defense is unrecognizable right now.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I think. I don't think anyone's been hurt as much as they have offensively by NFL defenses figuring out how to stop zone reads and making Kaepernick have to throw out of the pocket because he's not real great at that. They didn't have a ton of great weapons for him. So I think that's where his biggest step back came is other defenses figured out how to make him have to throw it, except the Packers haven't figured that out really
no.
yet. But other defenses
we haven't
have.
Talked about the Packers defense yet. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's really hurt him is that he's really shown that he's not an elite thrower yet, and that's where they've really struggled.
I don't think he will.
No.
Well, Seattle, obviously, you know, along with the Packers, at least in Vegas, the favorites in the NFC. AFC, a little more interesting, obviously, with Brady being reinstated, the Patriots right at the top of that list as well. Anybody got a surprise AFC team that they like to come through, or you guys going with the Patriots? Obviously, Denver was 12-4 last year, too.
It'd be hard pressed to call it a surprise, but I just think Indianapolis is on the right track. They got good coaching. They got an elite quarterback that's still growing. I mean, he throws
yeah.
too many picks, but But I think all of a sudden he's gonna. What's he in year four?
Chris should be year four. Yeah.
So I think he's starting to hit a level where they've added some nice pieces around him. The defense is solid. My pick is for Indianapolis to kind of be that next team.
I'm not as sold on Indy. I'm sold on Andrew Luck, but I watched that AFC championship game last year, and it's non-competitive.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what they did to improve their defense. Hopefully they've done something, but Andrew Luck is great, but I don't see a lot changing overall on them. They'll be 10-6, 11-5, probably be win the division, but I'm not sure on them. My surprise team is the Chargers.
Mm.
And the reason for it is, if you remember back 7-8 years ago, what made those teams really strong, 13-3, 14-2, yeah. What was it? LaDainian yeah. Tomlinson, a dynamic running back. That's something they have lacked as a franchise for the last 6-7 years. They've addressed that with Melvin Gordon. I think he is the real deal. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year, and they're my surprise pick because of Melvin Gordon.
Well, you guys know quite a bit about Melvin Gordon. What do you think of him making an immediate impact out there?
From everything I've heard, he's not making much of an impact, but I think that might have been kind of early game, early career right. jitters a bit. And, a different system than Wisconsin had, and it's harder in the NFL because Wisconsin gave him 3-foot holes to run through, and he ran for 90 yards and a touchdown. I think the Chargers, I think Rivers is still good. I mean, I think they've got good players down there. I'm not quite sure that they have enough to kind of take that, New England type leap, but I think they'll be one of the better teams out there. It's just tough with Denver in that division that they're going to have to play.
Well, that's a question too. Is there that expiration date on Peyton Manning? Is that coming up? Does that happen this year? Obviously, they've had a coaching change, there's the returns on Gary Kubiak, I think, are mixed at best. Is this year, Dan, do you think the Broncos maybe take a step back?
Yeah, probably a step back to like a 10-6 tops, maybe a 9-17. I mean, you like the Chargers. I think the Chiefs will be there. I mean, Andy Reid's yeah. always been a good coach.
It's yep. a good division.
It's a good division. So, and, we'll see. That injury, I can't recall off the top of my head what Peyton had at the end of last year, but he clearly had
old
no
arm.
He old had arm. Old arm. Had no velocity. Yeah. Couldn't throw. I see them taking a step back, and Elway seems to be a meddler. He gets involved with stuff that he may or may not know what he's doing. He's been an NFL president for, 4 years now with not a whole lot of NFL experience in that position. So we'll see. I think there's a good chance that the Denver Broncos are a non-playoff team this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs.
So you like Kansas City and maybe San Diego both coming out of that division?
I think.
As playoffs, maybe?
Probably one team, I think, making the playoffs in that
okay.
division. So.
Okay. The South, we already talked about a little bit with the Colts. The Texans, who Rob and I know at least, have been following on Hard Knocks.
So good.
J.J. Watt. Are you a Hard Knocks guy, Swanee? Have you seen it at all?
No, I don't.
It's unbelievable.
Neither do I. I still found a way.
There are ways. It's just they are, they're a team. Obviously, Foster being out really hurts them. And having.
But it sounds like he's only out for 5 weeks now at most.
I just have such a trouble with, the quarterback situation there.
Oh, it's terrible. It's really second worst in the league.
Hoyer, you're putting, and they picked Hoyer. You're putting your eggs in that basket. And boy, you got Jacksonville and Tennessee who combined for 5 wins last year. Might not be much better. Obviously, Mariota will provide some sort of spark. We don't know how good he's going to be. But that AFC South is, that could have one team above 500. And which that ultimately, that's why I might lean towards Indianapolis too, because if you're playing in a division like that,
they should go 6-0.
Right. If you get 6 wins in the division, then all of a sudden, 13 wins in the conference is possible. 12 wins, certainly you should get 6-4 the rest of the schedule. That might lead to home field, and once you get there, it might be pretty tough to beat. And the AFC North is kind of interesting, too. Great division.
Yeah, I think that's a good
division. Phenomenal
division.
I mean, everybody had at least 7 wins. Even the Browns had 7 wins last year. And then you look at Baltimore. Obviously, Pittsburgh ended up winning that division, but there's your two wild card teams out of the same division. Any
Bengals
thoughts
made
on
the playoffs too, right?
Yeah, Bengals and the Ravens.
And they lost again, once again, with Danny Dalton as their quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah, so. Andy, I mean, it's been a struggle, obviously, with him. But anybody have any thoughts on the North there in the AFC?
Just that, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is tremendous.
Yeah.
Phenomenal running back. I think he is the difference in that division for the Steelers. And, you know, him and Big Ben has really, as we've all seen him the last handful of years, he is no longer a game manager. He is one of the elite passers. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That offense is loaded.
So you think Pittsburgh could be? I know you already said, hey, you like Indy, but or no, that was Ryan. You said you weren't as high on Indy. Where are you at with the Steelers? Is this a potential Super Bowl team then?
I don't have them in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But
I do.
I think
you do. Okay. There we go.
I think they'll win the division.
All right. Yep. I like it. Dan thinks the Steelers suck. Tell us why, Dan.
Oh, I don't think they suck. I just don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. But that's just me. I look at one team and one team only in the AFC, and that's the Patriots. And until further notice, I don't really see anybody rising up to beat them. I don't care if it's in Pittsburgh, in Indianapolis, in Kansas City. I don't see it right now. I just don't see it happening.
It could New England not make it any easier to not like them? I mean,
it is something.
That was like a triple negative, by the way, what you just said.
Yeah, no, it's
so
true.
So that means
though.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Wait, do I have to like them now? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, but no, they're highly unlikable, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Real, like, a smugness that I don't enjoy, you know? Like, and I'm a pretty smug guy, but I don't like it coming from them.
I think it's bad news for the rest of the NFL what happened, because they're in full, just, F-U mode
Is
right
there
now.
Any doubt Brady's throwing for four TDs on Thursday? Any doubt? Four
that
might be
game,
it.
And, no, and that is against the Steelers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun game to watch. It should be highly competitive. But, yeah.
Steelers minus Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and you look at the rest of that division. You know, Buffalo had 9 wins last year, and they've got Rex Ryan now. The quarterback situation, who the heck knows, okay?
Who is that guy?
I don't
Tyrod
know.
Tyrod Taylor. He was a backup for the Ravens for, like, the last 3 years. He was Virginia Tech, I want to say. He's a pure – it's an option game now. It's a pure option game for them. Like, he can't really throw
I mean, this
well.
Is a team that signed Castle and just drafted E.J. Manuel 2 years ago, and now they're going with Tyrod Taylor.
Well, yeah, Castle got cut.
Yeah.
He only took 4 – I just read this in the paper – only took 4 snaps or series in the entire preseason.
Really bizarre.
Like,
you never know with Rex. Although, you know, I think Rex is a fine coach, but I don't know how you coach that team to 9 wins again. I do think Miami will be
But how did he coach all those Jets teams with Mark Sanchez to AFC title games?
That's a good point.
I mean, like, their defense is legit. Like, they've got a really good defense, and they have Sammy Watkins, which is a better receiver than he ever had with the Jets.
McCoy, but already McCoy. Hurt, though.
Yeah.
I would love to have him as a defensive coordinator.
Oh, he would be the best. And, yeah, I mean, you could do worse as a head coach. I think his act, you know, may wear a little thin.
Yeah.
It's maybe the Scott Skiles effect, where he's good for 3 or 4 years, and then it's like, oh, I never want to see this guy again.
How great was it when he signed IK, though?
The day after.
That was so great.
You got to love
it. Meanwhile, got cut.
Did he really? He didn't make it?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got cut.
Yeah, you just love the
but
message.
But still the simple.
Love the message. That it sends. Yeah, the NFL is a more entertaining league with Rex Ryan a part of it, that's for sure. I do think Miami steps up a little bit.
Tannehill was good last year.
I like
him. I just can't trust Joe Philbin and his coaching staff to push their team over the top. I'm sorry. He gives me that. I don't have any confidence in that coaching staff.
And the Jets, 4 wins last year, don't...
They're going to be bad.
Yeah, they're going to be bad again. So you know, you're almost talking about a Indianapolis effect, too, where, Indy might have 13, but New England might have 14. And if they have to go to Foxborough again in January...
Barring injury, I think that's the least amount of games they're going to win this year.
14?
Yes.
That's a crazy statement.
I'm not
that's
kidding.
That's hard
is,
to do in
this
the NFL.
Is, look at them after Spygate. Look at that team playing its soul out to win its 16th game in the Meadowlands when a game had no bearing at all to anything in that season. This is a really irate organization right now. Thinks the NFL's after them, which really they are. If you look at this, at the facts of it, they're out to prove themselves right now. They really are.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, if you go through and obviously, you know, the Pittsburgh thing is, you know, that correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the defending NFL champion has ever lost that Thursday night game since it was instituted about a decade ago. I don't think that's ever happened. So if you figure on a win there at Buffalo, that ain't happening. The Jaguars at home, I think we're safe. All right, now they do go at Dallas. Dallas is obviously every year. That, remember Dallas went into Seattle and just, you know, really took it to them. That's a possible loss. Okay. But, you know, you've got two to play with. At the Colts.
All right. Was it 40-3 the AFC title?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, all right. But that was in Foxborough, okay. You know, Jets, Dolphins, Redskins at home shouldn't be a problem. At the Giants, probably not a problem. They do go to Denver, okay?
Yep.
They go to the Texans and then Eagles at home.
So you're at four. You're at four maybes. There's your two losses.
Well, all right. I would take the over on losses there. Okay. I think they might win 12 or 13, but it's so hard to pick a team. So you went with Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Which I like, because going into your philosophy last year, the reason that you picked New England, we believe, to be in the Super Bowl, you just didn't want to pick Denver.
Yeah. Okay. Contrarian.
So I like that. Swanee, you said you have a Super Bowl team in mind. Is it the Patriots?
No.
Oh, yes. Okay, who are you then?
I'm Chargers.
Wow. All in on the Chargers.
I like it. Okay.
Do you know the names of all of Rivers' kids too? Can you name all 17 of his children?
No.
Philip the first, seven. Philip the second. Yeah. Filipina. Yeah.
All right. So the Chargers, so that means essentially, are you banking on them just having, boy, with that division, Swanee. So you're going to Foxborough. Don't you think? Probably. Yeah.
I mean, at some point, it's got to be someone besides New England and Denver.
Keep saying it every year.
Well, you asked about Manning's expiration date. I think it's usually around December 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So I'm not worried about Denver, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess just being a little different.
I love the pick.
Could I jump in quick on Denver? And the reason I actually like them a little more this year than last year is Gary Kubiak, because he runs the ball so effectively. And C.J. Anderson, the last eight games of the year, was top three running back in the NFL, somewhere in there. I think that they can mask Manning's weak armness a little bit more than last year. Their defense still has talent. I mean, Von Miller, there's still guys on the outside that can still get some pressure on there. I think Denver actually has a better shot this year to win than they did last year against a team like New England.
So I think what we're saying is it's not the best year for the NFC North to be playing the AFC West. Which is not good. Who we've drawn.
Actually, it's a great year to be playing.
Yeah, if you want that pick.
Could they all be on the road?
We'll volunteer.
Yep.
In Europe. We'll go to Europe.
Yeah, we'll take the Europe game.
We'll go to San Diego.
Yeah, it's a game in Brazil, I think. We'll take that one. It's fine.
If you've got Oakland at home, you might.
We do play Oakland, and I think it is at home. It's like the fourth game or something, and I'm really hoping David Carr and Amari Cooper just light us up. It's entirely possible because Kyle Fuller apparently doesn't know how to cover anybody anymore. So.
Well, that's the thing.
He's
unaware
of his surroundings.
We're going to come back to the same argument because you're
an eternal optimist and you always want your team to win because you're watching each game for the individual enjoyment because you're married and you have kids. I am single. I don't have any kids. I need, like, you can like see the joy in your children's faces and like when they do things and you're happy. I need this championship at some point in my life to continue my essence.
So you're saying forget about the little stuff. I don't need the 17-13 win that gets us to 9-7.
I need that.
Super Bowl title.
Have you met my brother?
Yeah.
I need that Super Bowl title. He is the worst.
Yeah, we know Todd. A couple of us know Todd. Okay. But I still can't. I would never say that in August about my team. Like, I hope we get lit up in week four.
I hope we get lit up week one. Week one, we're going to get lit up.
At that point, yes, you are, and maybe you can just tune yourself out, but if indeed that comes to pass where you get lit up at Soldier Field by the Raiders, you are a laughingstock of the league. I never want my team to be a laughingstock of the league. Now, you're saying, who cares if it leads to the mystery guy that's going to lead you to a title?
Well, it's going to be painful against the Raiders because in the first time in their history, they took the better receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
And that should have slipped to the Bears at that point. And instead, the Bears get the guy that was, you know, the big top end guy. So, He'll have five catches for 130 yards and four touchdowns or something like that.
All right. So, Dan, what is your Super Bowl prediction here?
I have, honestly, New England and Green Bay playing. I think those are by and far the two best teams in the NFL.
Why do you think the Packers, hands down, are better than the Seahawks?
I don't know. I think Seattle's run to me. I mean, they've made some moves. You know, the Jimmy Graham trade.
Yeah.
You know, they've done some things. You know, but they gave up, what, Max Unger in that deal?
So yeah, they did.
They gave up some pieces to get some other pieces. I don't know. I just, at the end of the day, I look at the end of that game, and there was no reason that Seattle should have lost that game. But also, they should have no reason to win that game either, you know, in terms of that another miracle throw against the Patriots gets someone set up to win a game. It's just a close league, but when it comes down to it, I just think Aaron Rodgers is in his prime, and this is the Packers' time for them to win a title with him, or at least to be in the title game against the Patriots.
So is your champion?
I still think the Patriots are going to win the game.
Okay. Swanee.
Green Bay over San Diego.
I'll go with that.
So you're going San Diego all the way to the
Super Bowl. Yeah, you got to pull the trigger.
Then you're jumping ship on this?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I like it. Okay, well, hey, I'd sign up for that. Ryan.
And it kills me to say that.
I know it does. As an ardent, I respect you as an
brought
ardent.
Brought a tear to Filipina the second's eye.
An ardent Packer hater. I appreciate that. Ryan.
And I do love Rob's the ends justifies the means approach, but I will not pick the Bears.
Thanks.
Yeah. AFC, Indianapolis, going to stay with Indy.
Okay.
And I got to go with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Green Bay over Indianapolis.
Yep. Okay. Rob.
Seattle over Pittsburgh.
I like that.
A rematch of 10 years ago, is it not?
That's right. Yeah. The
That was Holmgren.
That was a bad Super Bowl. Yeah, that was. That was Holmgren's.
Was Hasselbeck the quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Which one?
I hope it's Tim. I hope it was Tim.
It was not Tim.
Yeah. It was not Tim. It was the other bald Hasselbeck.
Yeah, well, I'll stick Pat and go with Packers over Patriots just because I went out on a limb and picked the Packers last year, and we saw how well that went. So we're at about 51 minutes here, so we're going to wrap things up. We want to thank you for listening. This is the third time we've gotten a chance to do this, so a lot of fun. Hope you guys had fun listening to it. You guys can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you found us through the website. But otherwise, until next time, you've been listening to the Beloit Daily News Sports Podcast.